But next, we've asked Pete Lister from Shindahai Network to talk a little bit about the work that Shindahai has been doing and who Shindahai is. And I know I, for one, am real glad that Pete's around. We work a lot with Shindahai, and I consider you guys like our sister organization. So it's good to have you here. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. My name's Pete Lister. I am the director of Shindahai Network. And I am definitely honored to be here, as I've been honored to be here every spring gathering for the last few years. Also, I am very honored to be here to support Carrie and Mary and the Western Shoshone in their continued resistance to the United States government continuing to illegally occupy and claim huge swaths of land and then try to pay people off for it. I've been, over the last 3 years, when the Bureau of Land Management has come in to seize Western Shoshone livestock in the conflict between the U.S. government and the Western Shoshone people, Shindahai Network has had Shindahai staff here with documentary equipment and just generally providing support to document any engagement between Western Shoshone people and agents and law enforcement with the Bureau of Land Management. And through that experience, my eyes have been opened, and also through our ability to document these things, we've been able to turn around and open other people's eyes as to what's happening here in Shoshone country. Unfortunately, you know, we get a lot of news about what's happening in other parts of the world whenever, you know, the U.S. government tries to use military or paramilitary or whatever operations to seize land and territory and resources, but very tragically, we don't get a lot of that information about what they're doing here within the boundaries of the United States in Indian country. And so I'm very honored to have been able to be here and to document and to share in the frustration and the anxiety and everything. It's pretty much something when you hear that the Indian Wars have ended, and then when you're sitting up on a mountainside at 4 o'clock in the morning watching basically the cavalry come in, only now instead of with horses, it's with SUVs and helicopters. So I want to, my prayers are with Carrie and Mary and with the NOAA people who are defending their land against that continued encroachment. Last week we had a gathering at the Nevada test site at Mercury, and it's about 75 people showed up. Which has been smaller than in past years. Shindahai Network has gone through kind of a management transition, and through that process, some of our logistical capacity got a little bit confused. And so as we were trying to get things back together, it was very interesting trying to pull that gathering together. And the small size, it was very interesting to me. Part of the program that we had there, we really kicked off the program with sunrise ceremony and then a discussion with Shoshone elders. Corbin and Catherine and Larson Bill was able to speak and spent several hours explaining what's happening in Shoshone country, and with particular emphasis on what was happening with the nuclear weapons development, the America's nuclear weapons program, the threatened resumption of full-scale nuclear weapons testing, which we're looking at, full-scale nuclear weapons testing being resumed, the status of the Yucca Mountain Project, and also some of the treaty issues and the claims distribution issues. And unfortunately, Margene Bull Creek from the Skull Valley Goshute Reservation, Goshute Shoshone people are also dealing with a massive nuclear waste dump project slated for their land, and they're trying to fast-track it, and unfortunately, on the Skull Valley Goshute Reservation, it's caused a lot of as is happening in so many other places, unfortunately, Goshute people are at odds with each other, and it's caused some very bitter disputes on the reservation. A couple of interesting things that happened at last week's gathering at the Nevada test site is we had a small enough size, and some of the frustration you could feel, not just about how some of the snafus that happened with equipment and stuff like that, but just the real painful frustration that people feel about what the Bush administration is trying to push for in terms of resuming full-scale nuclear weapons testing, in terms of, charging forward with the Yucca Mountain Project, in terms of charging forward with this private fuel storage nuclear waste dump in Goshute territory, that when we did our action at the line, the gate to the Nevada test site, the testimony there, in past years, it's been very, there's been a lot of passion, of course, and a lot of frustration and a lot of just sincere care for what's happening there. This time, after the Shoshone elders had spoken to, the land, whose land this is, and what's happening to the people here in terms of the health and safety, the consequences, the real painful, tragic consequences to Shoshone communities and to all communities downwind of the Nevada test site. After the elders and the Shoshone were speaking, one person after another came up, and just the pinpoint, uncompromising, it was like a righteous anger that was coming out of people's voices. And there was no mixing words when people spoke. They were not even disorganized in their speech. It came from the heart, and people spoke the truth to the point where when the police on the other side of the line and the Wackenhut guards on the other side of the line, as Grandma Catherine had said earlier, it kind of started off where they were almost laughing at us. And, they just take for granted another Mother's Day. We're all, here doing the same kind of song and dance. People are going to get arrested. But that changed pretty quickly once they heard what had to be said there, and once people one after another came and testified as to, we're not joking here. This isn't a game we're playing with you. We're very serious about this. We know exactly what is about to happen on this land. We know exactly what has already happened on this land. And we know very well that this should have never happened in the first place. And we're here to tell you this right now. And before long, the Wackenhuts weren't laughing anymore. The police were not laughing anymore. The police were listening. We even had Perez, one of the sheriff's department people, was standing directly in front of the speakers. He had to get out of the way of the speakers because we weren't just talking to them. We weren't negotiating with them. We were yelling all the way to the back of the test site. We were yelling all the way to the back of the crowd of police who were in kind of a formation, like it was a football game, right? And they had to move out of the way just because of the sheer reality that was coming out of people at that line. Another really good thing that came out of the Mercury gathering is that there were a lot of new people who are veterans who have traditionally participated in that gathering. For whatever reason, people have kind of gone their ways or involved in their own projects here, there, and everywhere, because there's, as we all know, no end to projects everywhere trying to defend our land and our water and to defend our Mother Earth and to protect the rights of indigenous people to not have this encroachment and destruction go on anymore. Anyway, a lot of veterans were not able to attend this time, but the interesting thing is a lot of new people came. There were a lot of young people, a lot of people who've never been there before, and one person after another who'd never been there before was coming up and saying, you have no idea what an experience this was for me. We're going back home, and I was really encouraged after that event for the power and the real strength and dedication that people took from that to see that this work carried forward. A little background on the Shundahai Network. Shundahai Network, this is the 10th year of Shundahai Network's operation. In 1994, Shundahai Network was started by a council of long-term nuclear disarmament activists under the guidance of Corbin Harney. And the mission of the Shundahai Network, well, essentially, if you go to our website, it says it really well, right on the homepage of www.shundahai.org, so Shundahai Network was formed at the Nevada test site 10 years ago by a council of long-term nuclear disarmament activists at the request of Corbin Harney, a Western Shoshone spiritual leader. Over that 10 years, Shundahai Network has evolved into an international network of activists and organizations bridging the gap between environmental, peace and justice, and indigenous land rights communities. Our staff and volunteers with Shundahai Network work on a wide range of community outreach, education, and public action campaigns. And through our events and campaigns, Shundahai Network helps train activists in community organizing and the use of nonviolent direct action to generate public awareness and apply political pressure on nuclear and indigenous rights issues. Shundahai Network, over the past 10 years, has a very long history of direct engagement at the facilities that that, you know, we're here to try to protect our Mother Earth from today, whether that's the Nevada test site, Yucca Mountain. There was a gathering held in 2001 on the Skull Valley Goshute Indian Reservation. Over 40 organizations either sponsored or directly participated in that event. And so we're very, very honored by the support that's gone into that. Right now, Shundahai Network, we have an office in Salt Lake City, Utah. And from that office, we coordinate three main campaigns. One campaign is the Action for Nuclear Abolition. That's essentially our weapons campaign, where we work to compile information and then to get information out about the status of America's nuclear weapons program, get information into activists' hands so that they can work very hard to educate their communities about the risks of, say, resuming full-scale nuclear weapons testing or the risks of continuing the existing subcritical nuclear weapons program that the United States government and also other countries continues to push. One interesting thing, the Winter Olympics, 2002 Winter Olympics was held in Salt Lake City, Utah. And on February 14th, Valentine's Day, which was pretty much dead center in the heart of the Winter Olympics, the United States and Great Britain thought it would be a really good idea to conduct a subcritical nuclear weapons test at the Nevada test site. So we've got a subcritical nuclear weapons test being conducted at the test site at the height of the Winter Olympic Games in the state directly next door. We weren't entirely sure what they were thinking, but... also want to give credit to, over the last decade, people who have worked with Shundahai Network and worked for Shundahai Network have worked very hard, and that's been despite an awful lot of attempts to disrupt the work of Shundahai Network, as many of us in this room have experienced through our work. We know that there are elements and forces out there that are very interested in not seeing this work go forward and not seeing us come together, and hence we have what we heard from Catherine and what we've heard from others, that unfortunately there are a lot of splits that come up between people, and that's exactly what those who are pushing for nuclear weapons, pushing for nuclear power and waste, pushing to continue to encroach on indigenous communities, that's what they want to see, is that division. And we're working very hard right now to try to clear up some of the misunderstandings and miscommunications that have been stirred up by elements outside of this. Now, Shundahai Network has three primary campaigns. One is Action for Nuclear Abolition. Again, that's our weapons campaign. That's, we get information out and organize around the America's nuclear weapons program. Second, we have our Nuclear Free Great Basin campaign, and that's a campaign that focuses specifically on waste, on the waste that comes from nuclear power plants, on the waste that is either being stored or is proposed to be stored at various locations from America's nuclear weapons program. And the third is Environmental Justice Now, and that brings together our weapons and waste programs in direct support of indigenous campaigns to defend indigenous homelands from these activities. With the Action for Nuclear Abolition campaign, you know, there's some alarming trends right now within the Bush administration. First of all, in the winter of last year, the U.S. government lifted the 10-year ban on full-scale nuclear weapons testing. In 1992, there was a moratorium placed on full-scale nuclear weapons testing. The Bush administration and Congress has gone along with lifting that. So now there is a green light pending congressional approval to begin full-scale nuclear weapons testing. A second is that they are preparing to increase readiness for full-scale nuclear weapons testing within 18 months. Prior to November, it was within 2 to 3 years, as I recall. So they're accelerating the timeline for resuming full-scale nuclear weapons testing. We're in a very unique situation right now. Further, they provided funding to establish new plutonium pit facilities. A plutonium pit is the trigger device for new nuclear weapons. Also, they have approved funding for the robust nuclear earth penetrator. These are the low yields, like you can say low yield when you're talking about nuclear weapons, but they're the low yield nuclear weapons that are designed to burrow deep into the earth to destroy underground bunkers. You know, big problems with that is you burrow deep into the earth, blow up these bunkers, and you've created a big hole where, you know, the effluent can escape. With our Nuclear Free Great Basin campaign, this is where we work on the Yucca Mountain project, the high-level nuclear waste dump that's proposed to be opened in 2010. It's also where we work In Utah, we have other nuclear waste campaigns. One is EnviroCare of Utah that's pushing to accept higher classes of radioactive waste than Class A radioactive waste, which they're currently licensed to accept. We've been working with a lot of groups in Utah to try to stop EnviroCare of Utah. I love how they have these names. A nuclear waste dump calls itself EnviroCare, you know, these kinds of things. We've been working with a coalition of organizations to stop the state of Utah established 2 years ago a task force. The Utah State Legislative Radioactive and Hazardous Waste Task Force. It's a bipartisan task force. Both Democrats and Republicans in both houses of the Utah State Legislature have members on this task force. Their job is to review license applications for hazardous and radioactive waste dumping facilities. We've been working very hard with an organization in Utah called Heal Utah, the Healthy Environment Alliance of Utah, to stop EnviroCare from being able to submit licenses that would accept these hotter classes of radioactive waste. And this particular facility, the EnviroCare facility, is pretty close to the vicinity of the Skull Valley Goshute Indian Reservation. And of course, they tend not to listen as much to indigenous peoples, but we're doing our best to make sure that doesn't happen, that ignoring indigenous voices in this is not going to happen. Within our Environmental Justice Now campaign, this is where I have become most involved in supporting the Western Shoshone struggle, the Treaty of Ruby Valley struggle. And currently, it's under our Environmental Justice Now campaign that Shunda High Network has been able to send people out here, send documentary equipment, send field support to support Carrie and Mary and the Western Shoshone resistance to the BLM coming in and disrupting the livelihood of Western Shoshone people here in the service of gold and in the service of gaining access to the resources here, as Julie and Carrie and others have explained. One other thing that we're doing right now through our Environmental Justice Now campaign is Shunda High Network is very sensitive to the fact that there have been elements throughout the 10-year history of the Shunda High Network that have worked to create divisions, basically telling stories about things that have happened throughout Shunda High Network's campaign experience over the last decade that simply haven't been true. And one very tragic expression of this, when we got back to Salt Lake City from Mercury, we had to go back to check on the office and to put some files away and things like that. When we got back to the office, we found out we'd been broken into. We were kind of lucky because we'd taken a lot of our sensitive information and stored it off-site, and you know, we'd secured the office that way, but we did discover that it had been gotten into and that things had been moved around, and it was pretty clear that there was something going on, and then found out that there was other folks calling around and just spreading rumors and just saying complete lies, making things up, doing whatever they could do to disrupt the work. And we know a lot of other people in this circle and in this work and in this movement have experienced similar things. And what this says to me is that we know what the stakes are here. When they say they're going to resume full-scale nuclear weapons testing, they're not joking. And it, whatever it takes to move that forward, you know, they'll do. It's a very high-stakes game. Also, when you have $9 billion worth of gold under your land, they'll do whatever it takes. And this is at this point where I really want to echo what Catherine said. We really need to stick together. People really need to trust each other and recognize that we really are all working very, very hard against an incredibly difficult situation here. And I just want to give my endless thanks and prayers to the grandmothers and to the elders and to the people who've been doing this work for so long, because it's a very difficult and sometimes dangerous job that we have. A couple of things that Shunda High Network has that we're looking forward to is in October, where we laid the groundwork at the Mercury gathering. The Shunda High Network Board of Directors sat in around a table for one part of the afternoon and then sat in Corbin's van. We held our board meeting in Corbin's van for the second part because we were dodging 70-mile-an-hour winds. It was a lot of fun. But we made an awful lot of progress toward preparing for a gathering in October on the Skull Valley Goshute Indian Reservation. to support Margene Bull Creek and Sammy Black Bear and others on the reservation who are working hard to stop this private fuel storage nuclear waste dump. And as when I get back to Salt Lake, when Liz and I get back to Salt Lake and when we engage the crew and the community there, we're going to be getting in touch with the Salt Lake City Mayor's Office, the Governor's Office in the state of Utah. We have basically a list of contacts we're going to be engaging immediately to start preparing a rally over Indigenous Peoples Day weekend, or you know what so many others refer to as Columbus Day weekend, and to for a gathering, 3-day gathering on the Skull Valley Goshute Reservation. Also a rally in Salt Lake City with a hearing. The folks who are deciding on whether or not to approve the license for the private fuel storage high-level nuclear waste dump on the reservation, it's the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's Atomic Safety and Licensing Board. In April of 2002, the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board held public hearings in Salt Lake City, Utah at the Salt Palace Convention Center, and Shendahai Network with several other organizations, as well as the state of Utah, as well as the Salt Lake City, organized a big demonstration, a press conference, and a street march where we marched from a major venue in downtown Salt Lake City to the Salt Palace, completely surrounded the entire area of the Salt Palace, like 400 or 500 people, and then packed two huge ballrooms in this convention center with people to testify against this nuclear waste dump. It was led by the Goshute, the Goshutes who live on the reservation. On, I mean, the facility, okay, the private fuel storage nuclear waste dump is approximately 80-acre lot, the proposed dump, 3-foot-high concrete pad. It's an above-ground storage facility where they set 15-foot-tall reinforced concrete casks, basically stacking them like soda cans on a concrete pad. This is a very seismically active area, so it's prone to earthquakes. And not only that, but Hill Air Force Base, which is in northern Utah, is the flight path where the planes come from Hill Air Force Base to do their live fire training at the Utah Test and Training Range, bombing range. In order to get from the Air Force or the Air Force Base to the bombing range, they have to fly directly over Skull Valley, directly over the location where this nuclear waste dump is proposed for. And they're pushing very hard. They had expected to begin construction of the facility at the end of last year, but it was actually a contention from the Air Force that got them to delay the licensing process. But now Private Fuel Storage is still saying that they expect to start construction of the rail line that'll move from the I-80 corridor down to the Skull Valley Goshute Reservation by the end of next year. So, you know, Yucca Mountain, we're talking 2010, we could have 40,000 metric tons of spent reactor fuel on the Goshute Reservation, which is 45 miles upwind of Salt Lake City. They could start construction on that facility by the end of next year unless we do something about it. So one thing that we're doing is in October, along with the gathering on the reservation, is the plan is to organize an alternative people's Atomic Safety and Licensing Board hearing, where we'll invite the members of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's Licensing Board. And if they choose not to participate in an alternative people's board, then we have a lineup of other folks who might be able to listen to testimony and then speak to the issue and then issue a report and whatnot. And right now, that's pretty much my report on what's happening in Salt Lake City and what's happening with Shendahai Network. Our website is www.shundahai, that's shundahai.org. And if anybody wants contact information, we actually did have flyers with us at Mercury, but they got mixed in with our files. Again, we were fighting 70-mile-an-hour winds, so a lot of our documents got kind of mixed together and got put back in the office. But I can answer any further questions anybody has. And again, I'm honored to be here today, and I'm always honored to be here in Noasogobia and to support the work that's done here. We're not going to let up. Oh, there's a question. When we were, after folks started crossing the line at Mercury and were taken into custody of Nye County Sheriffs or Wackenhuts, Liz and I crossed at the same time, and as we're being led away by the cop, he said,
He said, I know that this is just my job, and you've already discussed this before in your presentations, and I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate what you guys are doing here.
Yeah, and it was just really interesting because even when I was being cited, Perez from the Sheriff's Department set me down in his car, and the first thing that came out of his mouth was, you know, they're getting ready to fire off the big ones, right? And he didn't say straight out, you know, thank you for what you're doing here, but you could feel the concern in his voice. So the other incredibly sad thing that's happening on the reservation is on August 25th of 2001, there was, I really wish Margene was here to talk about this, but on August 25th of 2001, there was a recall election of the executive committee of the Skull Valley Goshute Tribal Council. And then that later that September, there was an election that the executive committee that was recalled in that recall election was the committee that had originally signed the lease agreement with Private Fuel Storage to set the nuclear waste dump on there. And so in August of 2001, there was a recall election, which was essentially a referendum on the nuclear waste dump. The Goshute people, through a general council election process, recalled the committee who had signed the original lease agreement, which no other Goshutes had gotten access to. It's held secret and proprietary between the chairman and Private Fuel Storage. After they held that recall election and put in a new executive committee that was essentially opposed to this nuclear waste dump, the Bureau of Indian Affairs refused to recognize the results of that election. Yeah, they refused to recognize the results of that election and continued by default to do business with the executive committee that Private Fuel Storage had essentially bought, and claiming that they weren't interfering, right? The BIA says that we're not going to interfere, therefore, we're going to continue to go along with business as usual with this executive committee that, you know, that was there when the original lease agreement was signed. And since that, well, kind of leading up to that, but also since that, Margene and other Goshutes on the reservation who are working hard to try to stop this nuclear waste dump, they've had their utilities cut off, they've had their benefits suspended, they're constantly under harassment, they're constantly being encroached upon, their allotments on the reservation are always at risk of having bulldozers and earth-moving equipment brought onto them to create projects that the only reason for those projects is for a place to put this PFS money, the money that Private Fuel Storage has put in there. And so Margene really needs a lot of help. It's really heating up. They just held a tribal council meeting in April where two petitions were circulated again to try to recall this executive committee, or to try to just formally finalize the recall of the executive committee that brought in the nuclear waste lease, the dump lease. That, as the newspapers reported and as Margene has spoken about several times, it just deteriorated into an incredibly divisive mess. You know, she described it as a screaming match. From our position, I mean, I'm not Goshute, I don't live on the reservation, but from Margene's position and from the position of people who are really working hard to try to get, you know, help her get the support she needs, a lot that Shundahai Network has been doing is to help her with capacity improvements, get her computer systems upgraded, help with equipment maintenance, and just basically help the capacity so that she can do her work despite some serious structural odds that are stacked against her. It's just really sick to us how this nuclear waste dump project has the influence that these big corporate investment projects can have in dividing up a vulnerable community. And so we definitely encourage everyone to help all they can, and to definitely have your prayers with the folks trying to stop this dump project.
Thanks, Pete. Well, I think one thing, if folks aren't already familiar with some of the issues facing the Western Shoshone, it should be becoming pretty obvious. They're up against the most powerful country in the world and three of the most powerful industries, which is the nuclear, the energy, and the mining industries. So the issues are really big, and that's why the networking and alliance building is so key to all of this.